Let's turn in the scriptures now together to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 33. So 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. These are the words of our great God. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do. So that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish. But if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I also may boast a little. What I am saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, and this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it. If anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness, I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I am more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day, a night, and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Demosthenes, in order to seize me. And I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. And that is the word of the Lord to us. Paul here continues in his exhortation against false apostles, false teachers, false prophets. These false witnesses were attacking Paul directly, attempting to minimize his ministry and service to Christ's church. He begins in the first four verses, warning specifically at what can happen with these false prophets. Just like the serpent, Satan, who deceived Eve by his craftiness, he warns that these false teachers can do the same thing to this Corinthian church. And these Christians could be led astray. But how do we tell who they are? 1 John, we know by testing the spirits. If one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom the apostles have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, not received, then what you are dealing with is a false teacher, a false apostle, a false prophet. Paul continues, he says he's no different than other true apostles, even if he be unskilled in speech and unskilled in speaking publicly. Just because he's not the greatest speaker does not mean he knows less or what he knows is wrong or that he is any less of an apostle. The way someone speaks does not show forth necessarily their knowledge, if it be true or not, or their office, whether they're an apostle or not. Rather, it has been shown to them of his knowledge. Unlike the false apostles who beg for money, even when Paul was in need, he did not ask to be a burden on someone, anyone. And as for the truth, he will not stop preaching because he loves them. Love necessitates speaking the truth, all of the truth, in love. But those who want to be like the apostles, calling themselves apostles and boasting in themselves, such men, if they're boasting in themselves, they are showing very clearly that they are false. False apostles, because a true apostle would boast in Christ or the Lord. They are deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Verses 12 and 13 apply even today. For there are no apostles. The office has ceased, and yet still many call themselves such. If you drive, usually if you drive in the inner city, or if you drove through the south at all, through towns, you will see many people claiming to be an apostle. But such office has ceased. There are no apostles today. And these are the things that we should expect. For even Satan himself deceived Eve. He disguises himself still today as an angel of light, one who appears good and holy and yet is altogether wicked. And we should expect many of the world to do the same. Then he closes the chapter giving a list of qualifications, his labors, his sufferings, all that show forth his qualifications as the office of an apostle holding it, much more than any false apostle. He's a Hebrew Israelite, descendant of Abraham. Many of the false apostles in that day were similar. Now, Paul is a servant of Christ. Not attempting to lord over Christ, not attempting to be Christ, like these false apostles were. He has served more, imprisoned more for his faith, beaten times beyond number, more, many times close to death. For five times for his faith and his witness for Christ, not himself. for Christ, he was whipped 39 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned, all because he was preaching Christ, not preaching himself. He goes on with another many more things, shipwrecked, a night and day in the sea, many journeys for the gospel, dangers from among all creation, even among the false brothers themselves. And all those external things, verse 28, even the concern for all the churches. If anyone could boast about himself, Paul could boast more than any of the false apostles. But even then, it says that he makes his boasting in his weakness. His weakness. For even in his weakness, we'll learn especially coming up, the Lord delivered him. The Lord is his strength in weakness. And he boasts in the Lord. Paul in these ways is qualified to be an apostle. But the boasting of the false apostles is meaningless. Boasting in themselves only leads to their ruin. The church in Corinth, and you, beloved, today are called to listen and receive the word of the Lord, even as it came through the apostles and the prophets, which is found in the word of God before you. It is not their word, but God's word. So give heed to it so that you will not be deceived by those who are false. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word here, which reveals that there are deceivers in the world. Just as Satan, the serpent, at first deceived Eve. Father, he is an angel of light, appearing as such. For he appears to be good. Even before Jesus, as Jesus was tempted, Satan was taking the word of God and shaping it and changing just a few things. He was using the word of God to deceive, to try to deceive Jesus. How much will today the followers of Satan be able to tempt us? Even sometimes using the word of God. For they follow after him. These false teachers, false prophets. And so, Father, we ask that we would know the word more. So like Jesus, we'd be able to respond with the word, the sword of the Spirit, and fend off the temptations of the evil one, and even his people who are wicked and evil and false. Cause us to have, by your Spirit, great discernment. To have great discernment, we need to know your word. And so cause us to love your word above the things of this world. Above entertainment and pleasures. Cause us to be in it as you command day and night. Meditating upon it. Your law. So we could respond like Jesus. And even say like Jesus, "Go, Satan." Cause us to resist the devil that he would flee from us. And even his false followers. Father, may we be men and women and children of the truth. And therefore be, even as we serve your church, even as your elders minister the word, and teach and preach. Father, cause us to see our weakness and so be humbled and not boast in ourselves, but boast in You. You, the Lord, who is strong. And yet even as we think spiritually, we think also physically that we are weak. Many hurting and sick. You've healed some. We ask that You would heal all. And that You would heal completely. We look forward to that day when there'll be no more pains or sorrows. But joy everlasting with pure fear of the Lord. Reverence for You. What great day it will be when we enter in and there'll be no more pains. And we'll receive in time, as Christ returns, new glorified bodies, which are perfect, no blemishes, no struggles. So, Lord, heal our bodies and heal them completely. And as we pray again, we ask that You would heal our souls and our hearts, our wills, our affections. Do that great battle against the flesh by Your Spirit. And may Your Spirit win each battle. Father, we ask that You would hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the healer of our hearts and bodies. Amen.